Well, what a great morning already. You know, to hear the Word of God, to be encouraged, to see that God is still busy. And Jesus said He would build His church, and to see that what God is doing in Guatemala, as He's doing in other parts of the world too. And I sometimes feel that, you know, that in North America, you know, we're not as excited about church. In fact, I can tell you that I've been meeting in different places, and people don't even want to come back to this building. Not to this building, but to the building where they would be ministered to. And people would rather stay home. And I was in a church where there was only like six people, you know. And it's a congregation of about 50 people. They didn't want to come back no more. And I've been thinking about this year, 2020. And what kind of is amazing is that when we were in 2019, people said that this year we were going to have 2020 vision. Well, we have sure seen a lot of things that I never would have ever thought I would see. And you know, like with all the rioting and the protesting and the looting and the anger, and just around the world, people are angry. And I think it's setting it up for a last day, you know, event. How many people here are for protesting? By a show of hands, just put up your hand if you agree with protesting. Okay, by a show of hands that you're against rioting. By a show of hands, are you against it? Okay, some people are still for it. okay. That was kind of a trick thing. How many people here know that the Mennonite Church is part of the Protestant movement? By a show of hands, how many of you know that? Did you know that Protestant means to protest? What are you protesting? And I thought you were against it. Yeah, it's crazy things. But I don't. I think other people may be called on that. Yeah. Thanks for the clarification, Jack. Now that you said it, I'll take my glasses off. I don't need to see 2020 anymore. In fact, most people have disappeared. But the last days, you know, and yet, as we were reading, you know, like you were saying, Pastor Jeremy, about a falling away. And yet, what are we to be like? You know, because we have this righteous God, and that He's, you know, He's not done with us. And that for such a time as this, you know, what will we do with the next breath? The breath of God that He breathed into us. What will we do with the next breath? And we could do all kinds of things. I mean, we can sing, we can encourage each other, we can get involved in ministries. One of the things I think I would like to encourage everybody is to come out and see the Saints play baseball. I have been very encouraged. And, you know, not just because we're playing ball, but we're meeting with a number of Chinese groups and Korean groups that are actually playing ball there. And we're having Bible studies, you know, short devotionals, times of prayer. People are sharing. And it's been really encouraging to be a saint. And I'm just thankful that Pastor Jeremy allowed me to be part of the team. So I'm saying that so that he'll keep being encouraged that way to have me on the team. But the last days, what are they going to be like? Well, I'm just going to use one verse as I speak here. It says in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 13. And it's in the middle of two extremes. Two thoughts. And it says this, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And it's right in the middle of a passage of the last days, but also of an encouragement. And so the Apostle Paul, by the Holy Spirit, says that in chapter 3, he said, verse 1, this also know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. I believe that we are starting to enter in to these perilous times. We are not in them, but we're heading towards it. I mean, Jesus calls it the beginning of sorrows. It is not the tribulation. It's the beginning of sorrows. Where there's been tribulation. There's been trials. There's been problems. There's been hurts and pains. But when we talk about, there's two different words for tribulation. You know, and Jesus speaks of two different types. The beginning of sorrows. That's a tribulation. But then he talks about the great tribulation. And they're two different Greek words. But he says, perilous times. You know, when we got back from Israel, March the 3rd, on March the 5th, the doors was like it was a line and somebody closed the door and we've been watching it play out. And Jesus says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. It's going to get evil. We're going to see the beginnings of it, but it's going to get wicked in the days of the tribulation. And so the Apostle Paul is saying this. He's writing this to the church. He's not writing this to people outside, though that if they hear it, that they might come in. They might repent and get right through the forgiveness of the Lord God himself because of the work on the cross. But he says, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. Man, you know, I've seen people taking pictures of themselves. They just love themselves. You know, like when they get that stick, you know, and they're taking these selfie pictures of themselves. And I'm thinking, don't you have any friends, you know, to take a picture of you? No, we're taking a picture of myself. And I saw some pictures up to me, and I actually have to tell you, I am not the same man as I was up on those pictures. I was 351 pounds on those pictures. This morning I told Pastor Jeremy, I am a new man. I hit 299 the first time in 20 years, you know. And so, yeah, you can clap. No, I'm just... But the lovers of themselves, I just want a picture of myself. You know, I always think, you know, remember when you used to have those, a camera and you'd take a picture and you'd have to send that picture off and you'd wait a whole week? And at the end of the week, you know, you'd wonder, where's my pictures? I want to see my pictures. And you'd phone up the guy and says, my picture's done. You know, you said it would be Tuesday, it's Thursday, and it's already 9 days. And you'd get your pictures, only to find out you had a picture of your thumb. You know, well, yeah, that's my not a good picture. Then you had the one-hour camera pictures, you know, and you only had to wait an hour. I mean, if somebody said, you know, hey, just wait an hour, you'd say, what kind of iPhone do you got, you know, today? I mean, we're snapping pictures. And it's snapping pictures of everything. And you know, I said, take a picture of that glass of water, send it off out into space, and everybody else can watch it. Hey, you got look at that glass of water. I'll take a sip here. That was a picture moment. They're taking pictures because they love themselves. But they don't love themselves to know the greatest love, for God so loved the world. And it says that they're covetous. Hey, I like that table. I want that car. I want, you know, how come you get to have that? And we want more and more and more. And yet that was one of the Ten Commandments. That as I taught in Guatemala, you know, not to covet. And yet people around the world, they want more and more. I mean, Bill Gates says, I don't want to be number two. He's only got $58 billion, and I don't want to be number two, which means that he'll do whatever it takes to become number one. They're covetous. They're boasters. They just... Look at me, look what I can do. I mean, you think of the world's economy and the business world, you know, so you apply for a job, what can you do? And, you know, and you got to say all the things that, hey, this is me, you know, I can do all these things. Oh, yeah, we're going to hire him. They're proud. They're proud in the wrong things. You know, pride goeth before the fall, and they're going to fall. And yet, in spite of all this stuff, the gospel is still going forward. The Bibles are still going forward. In fact, I just heard, it was on Thursday, that the Bible has become the number one selling book again. I think people are getting scared about what's happening in our world. They're disobedient to parents. And that one's a loaded question. Disobedient. You know, to disobey. You know, I remember my dad telling me, John, put that knife away. That knife is too sharp for you. I was about 9 years old, and I was whittling. And I said, oh, no, I'm okay with it, Dad. He said, put it away. I told you to put it away. No, I won't cut myself. And no sooner did I say I'm not going to cut myself, and I cut myself, and I got the scar right here. And I right away, and blood squirting out of my hand, you know. And my dad said, did you cut yourself? And I said, no. He reminded me of that not too long ago, so that's why it's a good illustration. Disobedient. But on a much more extreme level, and people are angry with parents, and you know, I'm just reminding Jared and Bethany here as I'm speaking here. But they're unthankful. Doesn't matter what they get. I mean, even if God does a miracle, something miraculous, they are not thankful. I want another one. I want more. And then it says unholy. And I sometimes think within myself, you know, that do we really know what it means to be holy? I mean, we take holidays, but do we ever take a holy day where we just stop, do whatever we're doing, and just reflect on what God has done, his love and the miraculous things that he's done in your life, like looking back over the time and just to give thanks? Because they're not thankful. They're without natural affections. And I mean, to think that a mother would give up her children, that the bondage that they would have, and yet so many people willing to give up their children. That the natural affection for a man and a woman to come together, and no, they'd rather be with the opposite sex, you know, in that relationship. Not to say that we can't fellowship together, but that they wanted to be together in a marriage-type situation. They're truce breakers. It doesn't matter what they say. If they said something, and we have things where I've met with people, and as soon as they say it, I don't believe it. You know, Paul says that the Cretans were liars. All Cretans are liars. I mean, to have that put on you as a people, as an individual, you know what he's saying? That's a lie. I don't believe it. This is the last days. And it goes on to say that they're with their false accusers. And really false accusers of those, that which is good. You know, and they make up stories. And I mean, you see the media and what is being projected. I mean, I was at my mom and dad's, and they were watching the CSI. And here was a group of people from Alberta, Canada. They were Christians, and they were going across the border, and they went to a city. And here they were, what were they? They were murderers. That's what those Christians are. Especially the ones from Canada. And you know, and the guy just says, yeah, you can't trust Canadians, you know. You know? Wow, what a label to put on you. Incontinent. It means that they have no self-control. They can't control, they just have urges, and I gotta do it, you know. And it's always, no self-control means that it's always in the wrong. They're fierce. They're despisers of those that are good. Like if you, oh, so you're a goody two shoes. Look at you, you know, Mr. Goody Two Shoes. You know, and you think you're more righteous. You think you're better than us. And I've been accused of that on the streets. They don't even know me. But because I was heading out a track, they thought, oh, that I was better than them. At least I thought I was better than them. It says they're traitors. It's because they deny authority. And in that they say one thing, but when the opposition comes, they will betray you. They will trade you in. Traitors. They're heady. They're high-minded. They're lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. They'd rather, you know, I even as we were coming, I saw people out there worshiping this morning, you know, and they were out there, and bam! Oh, no, don't go in the bush. Oh, God, please don't go in the bush. Like, you can just see them. They're out there. They're in their temple. They got those little carts, you know, and they're driving down through the thing. And they'd rather spend time, and I'm not against golf. I love golf. But that they'd rather spend time out there than time in here to know what God has for their lives and the blessings. They have a form of godliness, but they deny the power of their love. And I was thinking now of Solomon, like when we went there and we talked to many of the Seventh-day Adventists. We even met some Mormons, and we also met Jehovah's Witnesses, the Catholics. You know, and the Catholic is just, to me, is just another cult. They have a form of belief in Jesus, but they worship Mary. They don't go to Jesus in prayer, they go to Mary. Why go to Jesus when the mother will do it for you? You know, that's kind of how it went. Was in our home, the kids wouldn't come to me; they'd go to Irene. And not even just recently, one of my children phoned me up and said, "Dad, can we borrow can I talk to Mom?" And I said, "Hello, can I talk to Mom?" Okay, here, and then went, "Mom, can you ask Dad if I can borrow the van?" I was just on the phone here. Like, you think I'm not going to let you have my van? You know, like, what? And, but this is how things are in our world. We're all mixed up. Having a form of godliness. And these Seventh-day Adventists, you know, they have a form of godliness. But they don't believe that Jesus is the Almighty God. They believe he's an angel, a created angel. And so they've got things that are, that, hey, I agree with them. No, I don't agree with them. It's because they don't have a correct understanding. And it says here, at verse 7, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. They're never able to come and recognize him as the sovereign God, the all-knowing, the all-powerful, the all-present God. And that they would want to know him in doctrine and theology and creation and Israel and the church and in prophecy and the ministry of the word, like in missions and evangelism, knowing his second coming, and really know him in the family of God, both physically and spiritually. Ever learning, but never coming to it. And it says, now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobates concerning the faith. I'm telling you that as we read that in reference to that verse 13, evil men, seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived, is that you just go to the internet. And I'm telling you, the deception is great. They're out there to seduce you. They're also to make merchandise of you. And I would recommend that you spend less and less time, you know, on the internet. Spend more time, you know, in fellowship with the Word, with the Holy Spirit. Come fellowship in this building with the saints, and get to know him, especially for these last days. Don't let anybody deceive you. Jesus said, "Let no man deceive you." You know, Paul says, "Let no man deceive himself to believe this stuff." Well, they said it over and over again. It must be true. And so Paul is reminding us, and he tells us in verse 12, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. I mean, you think of North Korea. You think of China. And I saw it the other day. Somebody made a post. Here was the Chinese Christians and people in Hong Kong waving the American flag, calling out for freedom. And in Portland, Oregon, as of yesterday, here they raised up the communistic flag and they were against freedom. You know, it makes no sense. But it's this seducing, and that people are saying that this is the way to go. You know, they call about Black Lives Matter. In fact, one lady said, if you say that all lives matter, I will kill you. That was on television. I'm going to kill you. See, Jesus thought all lives mattered. You know, and he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. All lives matter to him. And so no matter where we are, that we would be doing that which Jesus came for. And then here we have the encouragement. But he says, verse 14, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hath been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learnt them. That you know, that you have assurance, and that because you know these things, that from who you've learned them. I like what Paul says in Philippians chapter 4. I'll begin with verse 8. And this is all in regards to the peace of God that would come into your life, and that through Jesus Christ, or through Christ Jesus. And he says this in verse 8, Philippians 4. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. You want the peace of God? Then think on these things, do these things, and the God of peace will be with you. So you have the peace of God and the God of peace. Do you know that from the Jewish perspective, that when I raise up my hand and make the letter shin on this side, that is the God of peace, Shaddai. When I raise up this hand and make the letter shin, this is the peace of God. And so that when the high priest would take his hands, he never raised them over his head, he always raised them out in front, and then he'd put his hands together, and then he'd lower it down, that the God of peace will give you the peace of God. That's what Paul is a Pharisee. Paul has seen this many times. That's what the Levite priests would do. And actually, as they're talking about rebuilding the temple, you can go watch some of the high priests, and they're doing this very symbol, raising up their hands, putting them together, bringing a blessing of God, the God of Israel, down on the people. Continue in the things that you have learned from a child. Don't forget them. These are the most important things in your life, especially for these days. He says that from a child that thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. It is the faith of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ does not need faith. He is faith. God does not need love. God is love. And it comes and it flows out of him. And faith flows out of him so that we could have faith. In fact, in Revelation chapter 3, or chapter 2 and verse 13, it says, yet you have not denied my name, and you have not withheld my faith. You've let it go. They were being persecuted, and they did not deny who Jesus was, and they did not deny the faith. All Scripture is given by inspiration, not just the New Testament, not just the Gospels. It's the whole Bible. David Hawkin always used to say, "The Bible, the whole Bible, and nothing but the Bible." You know, we don't need anything else. We have everything here that is a promise. 8,800 promises in this book. You know, how many people can name all 8,800? I got a lot of work to do. I think I got three I can pick off my head. God, there's so much here, and it's for you, that he did this for you. And it's profitable for doctrine. And yet people say, I don't know, what, do we need doctrine? Do we need to know the attributes of God? Absolutely. You know, as I said that one time, today we're going to talk about the ramification of justification through the propitiation, of the justification through sanctification unto glorification, and everybody's thinking, oh, no, don't talk to me like that. What does it mean? Jesus loves me, this I know. All those words is about Jesus loving us. And that's why don't forget the Scriptures. It's for correction. It's for instruction of righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And that each one of you would abound in good works. Not because I have to please God. I have to get some kind of reward. No, because I'm in love with Jesus. And that he would work those good works in you. And that you would abound. Paul talks about it being abounding. You know, it's because of what Jesus has done in our lives. And money can't buy this. The things of this world can't buy it. We need those things to go through life, but they'll never satisfy. But this will satisfy you. And as Paul was wanting to encourage the saints, as you heard this morning out of Hebrews, to encourage the saints. There's a lot of discouragement. There's a lot of heartaches and pains, or, you know, when things don't go well within our families, or when families are suffering, or people passing away. But it's here to encourage us to go deep in our walk and our talk with the Lord Jesus. And that he sent the Holy Spirit to comfort us, to guide us, and to direct us in the things of Jesus Christ. Jesus said that when the Comforter comes, he will testify of me. He will testify of Jesus Christ, him alone. When people start talking about, oh, the Holy Spirit told me this, and the Holy Spirit did this, and you know, after about 4 or 5 minutes, and I don't hear the name Jesus, that's a different Holy Spirit. Because Jesus said that he would testify of me. And I love when the Holy Spirit is teaching, and we gain some instructions, and we gain some correction, you know, because none of us are perfect. In fact, until the day we see Jesus, there's always going to be something in our life that we need to work on. And so, Lord, open up our hearts so that you can work that good work in us, and that we'd be faithful, and even till death or till the rapture. And I'm looking forward to that day. Heavenly Father, as we step into thy presence, because of the Lord Jesus Christ and because of your Holy Spirit, Lord, we are grateful. We are thankful for all that you've done. We thank you for the salvation that we have. We thank you for the promises within this book. We thank you for the encouragements that we can receive. Lord, that as I think of Pastor Jeremy and those words of encouragement in the book of Hebrews, Lord, that we would not forget these words, that we'd read them over and over and over again, especially in times of hardships, times of aches and pains. And that, Lord, that when we are in a time of spirit, of good joy and comfort, I pray that, Lord, that we would be continuing in the things that we have heard, that we know and that we are assured of, and that we'd go out and do the very things that would please you because you are working in us. Lord, I thank you for each one that has come out this morning. And I just pray a blessing on them. And I pray that, Lord, that people would ponder the work in Guatemala. I thank you, Lord, for Solomon willing to come this morning and just to tell us some of the good things that are going on. Lord, when I see all those children and I see here people getting saved and the thought of building a building, and Lord, what can we do? And that would be an encouragement that when we step into eternity, that, Lord, that we would see people that we've prayed for, people that we've encouraged, people that we've helped, financially supported, and that, Lord, that they would be there because of what you have done on the gospel. And so, Lord, turn our hearts towards you, that we would fall in love with the one who loves us. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. I love him because he first loved me. And so, Lord, that as we go through this day, that you'd put it upon our hearts to be a blessing to those we meet because of what Jesus has done in our lives. And so, Lord, we give you thanks. We give you all the praise and glory. And we just ask that you'd go with us now in Jesus' precious name. Amen.